Hey guys, it's Sammy
and Robbie
back again to tell you about another upcoming con,
and we're super excited about this one.
It's another Indiana one. This one is Pop Con, Indie Pop Con to be exact, and it's going to be in Indianapolis again at the Convention Center,
Indiana Convention Center,
right in downtown Indianapolis. And Robbie will be there April 26th through the 28th.
Yes. We were just at the Indiana Comic-Con, so if you missed us, you get a chance to meet us again at PopCon.
Yes, well, at least Robbie.
At least me. Ashley will be there.
Oh, yeah, and Ashley will be there. That's an exciting thing.
Ashley will be there, so you get to meet a lot of us on the network.
Yeah, two-thirds.
Two-thirds of it, yes.
There you go. Yeah.
So if you're coming to the show, please stop by the Limitless Broadcasting booth. We're always excited to see you.
All right.
That's all I got.
Well, I guess we'll see you guys at the show.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Sammy.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Shall we begin?
It's time to get things started on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, motivational show!
There it is. Okay.
Three, two, one.
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan.
What's up?
And of course, we are produced by Limitless Broadcasting.
Go to all of our social media after the show, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook.
Yes. So I kind of threw myself off. I went down an octave when I normally go up an octave. Dan's name. I'm like, wait,
where did that come from? Okay, I guess I'm just crashing the party today. Featuring Dan.
No, I don't know. God, this guy again.
This guy. He just keeps showing up.
Who invited him? Oh, jeez. Right.
Nobody ever invites me. I'm just here all the time, everywhere. I'm just always everywhere. I'm always everywhere. I simply make my presence known.
You are always wanted.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So we are in week two of Marvel. Last week we talked about, well, they talked about Ant-Man, Quantumania. I didn't watch it, which if you are regulars on this podcast,
understood.
You are not surprised. But today we are talking about season two of Loki, which I watched the first 3.5 episodes.
Oh, you didn't even finish it?
Okay. I'm gonna be honest, and you guys are gonna hate me for this. I got bored. I got bored.
You know, it's okay.
I wish
Robbie had made it for this, because he said to me too, he's like, is this kind of slow? And I was just like,
the first few episodes were slow, but
he
got good,
like,
though.
It's just you have to build it, you know? You gotta build up the story.
The first season was amazing. I loved it. I was sick and I was laying on my couch watching Loki season one, and I was like glued to the TV. This one, I kept picking up my phone and scrolling on Pinterest, and I was just not engaged at all in this show. Second season, it wasn't Loki.
I wish you had made it at least. I just wish you had kept watching.
I'd say about my maybe two episodes. I don't know. Three is when it kind of picked up for me.
I stopped mid episode four.
Interesting.
Okay.
Like he just made
you
it to
kept going.
TVA.
You should. Robbie said he thought the best one was the last two were the best ones.
Agreed.
And he was on the fence like you.
and I will probably finish it. But I was just, I couldn't do it last night. I still had to watch Marvel because I was struggling to get through Loki all week. And I still needed to watch the Marvels. I'm like, screw it. I'd rather just watch Marvels at this point.
That's fair. I knew that was going to take the most time, so I intentionally finished Loki during like the week. So.
Yeah, I did it first.
My weeks are, because I'm working like 2.5 jobs and I'm trying to plan a wedding and I'm like, I just haven't had time to sit down and watch.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm just behind on everything. But at least I got this done.
Yeah, Loki's growing into one of my favorite characters, so I was just going to enjoy it regardless. Again, like Ant-Man. He's so much fun. Loki's so much fun.
He is fun, but I just felt like it wasn't about him in this season.
It wasn't.
Yeah, and Robbie said the same thing. Robbie said the same thing. Yeah.
It was he's very much transformed as a character. He's still Loki, but he's not quite the chaotic neutral that we know him as.
I am having deja vu right now at this moment. What other character did we talk about with this? We literally just had the same conversation about this character like a year ago.
Did we?
We did. It wasn't about Loki. It was about a different character.
Was it a Marvel character?
I thought so.
Who else have we talked about?
I don't know. I'm going to have to think about it. But I literally remember Dan saying that exact same thing because I was getting bored with the character. I'm having a weird moment. Anyways. Go on with the cast. I'm going to look in our old notes.
Yeah, well, look and see what we talked about that. Last year.
Was it?
Because I know. Because the ones that keep popping in my head, I'm like, those are not the right characters. Thor.
Oh, we didn't talk about that many Marvel characters last year.
No,
we did Thor Love and Thunder. We did Miss Marvel. We did Doctor Strange.
Moon Knight, She-Hulk, Guardians of the Galaxy, Black Panther. Maybe it wasn't a Marvel character. Or maybe I had a dream about this and now it's coming true.
Ashley, you just predicted the conversation about Loki.
Apparently.
Deja vu, yes.
Like, I just had a hard deja vu moment on that one.
Could be, yeah.
Dreams tap into the unseen world, so possibly.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, moving on with life.
Okay, so let's jump in. All right, so we'll start with the cast. Tom Hiddleston is back as Loki, which I just like to say, we just went to MegaCon last weekend. The lines are insane, but, you know, I was like...
Is he there?
He was across the way.
He was?
Tom Hiddleston, he was there, and I was just like, he's so close, but so far, because I'm not paying... $500 to meet you, but I can see you across the way. Bro, let me tell you, these prices. They had Back to the Future. Michael J. Fox was there. They had the cast there, but it was like $1,500 if you wanted to do like photos and picture and autographs. And I was like, no. And Michael J. Fox was only there like 2 days or something. And I
Back to the Future, I would save up and do that one. That one I would do in a heartbeat.
I'm kind of sad I wasn't
save up for the money and do it.
Like, if I couldn't go when Michael J. Fox is actually there, because it would have been worth it just to go stare at him and be like, you're Michael J. Fox. Oh, my goodness. You're right there. But yeah, at least I had Tom Hiddleston, Ewan McGregor, Hayden. They were all very close to me.
Yeah, there's a TikToker that I follow who lives, I guess, now I know in Orlando because she was at MegaCon and she has a picture of Hayden Christensen, like, hugging her from behind. I'm like,
aww.
I couldn't do the money for that. We bought.
I would do that.
One autograph and selfie because Robbie really wanted to do it, but I was just like, with I can't. Him. I can show you. I don't with think him. You're gonna know. I'll show you. Hold on.
Oh.
I'll take a mini pause with this person here.
The dry. Entourage. I'm not an Entourage person.
I can't stand the show. I cannot stand Entourage. It is one of his favorite shows. I cannot stand it. So I was like, it's fine. They have like no wait. Then we end up waiting like an hour because MegaCon is stupid and always running behind on everything. But I was like, fine, we'll wait and you can get your autograph and then we'll do a photo with him. That's fine. Because it was one of the cheaper options for everybody there. But he was very excited about it. Yeah. And this guy is also in the show. I'm going to give you a little story. He's also in this show called Power. Which is on Showtime?
Okay.
Something? I don't know. It's either Showtime or HBO. I want to say Showtime. Anyway, And he was in that show, and 50 Cent acts in it and produces it. And my thing is, I always tell Robbie that 50 Cent is not an actor. So we're meeting this nice gentleman, and he's like, my wife says 50 Cent is not an actor. And I was like, why would you do that? We're standing here like, this is the most awkward moment.
That's hilarious.
I was just like, oh my God. I legitimately thought the next thing out of his mouth was going to be, also, she doesn't like your show Entourage. And I'm just like, I need to just walk off, because he didn't. But I was like, this is
what did the guy say?
He just kind of like, he's like, well, you know, he is more of a producer, but I mean, he clearly got a nice paycheck from being on that show, you know, and.
Well, you know, he's also in one or multiples of the Expendables.
I know. He's still not an actor, but.
I mean, no, he doesn't speak much and all he does is shoot a gun. So, you know.
Yeah, we get in debates about this, but, you know.
Very few. Fine. Like performers transition into acting.
Yeah.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
there's a lot of them that transition into acting, but they don't transition well.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Jared Leto pulled it off pretty well, but
Jared Leto is insane. Yeah.
I think Justin Timberlake did okay.
He's all right.
He's not a bad actor.
I mean, he did a lot more like romantic comedies, and I think that suited him for the type of artist he was.
He's done some serious stuff too, though.
I have only seen his romantic comedy.
I don't know that I can't think of it. I think there's a new one or a newer one that he's in where he's a more serious role, but yeah.
And he voices in Trolls.
All right.
Okay.
Will Smith, that's another good one.
Oh yeah, Will Smith. Well, I think Will Smith's better as an actor than a singer.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, wasn't he an actor and then a rapper?
Well, he started off as a rapper on MTV. I think it was like an MTV.
Yeah,
like,
he started off as a rapper.
Oh, I forgot. That's
and
true.
He got so big with his acting that people kind of forgot that, oh yeah, he was a hip hop artist in the beginning.
Did forget that. Yeah.
Thankfully, Taylor Swift like went back to music. She like came in for a second at Valentine's Day and then left.
Well, she was in Cats. She did acting? Yeah, she was in Cats.
I haven't paid attention to that at all.
I didn't see Cats. I had no interest. And when I heard it was terrible, I was like, well, that's fine. Because I have zero interest in watching this.
No one liked Cats. Yes. No one talks about Cats.
But yeah, she's done like two things, and now she sticks with music videos. That seems to be her.
Which is fine. She needs to stay in that realm.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of excited about her new album. But anywho.
I'm gonna be honest. I've been actually giving her music a chance recently, and I kind of like it.
I am definitely not a Swiftie, but I'm a Taylor Swift.
I'm not a Swiftie either, but I do like her music.
But I have a bucket we got for like a dollar at the movie theater.
So Disney Plus is gonna have, or already has, the Eras Tour on it, and March. I'm probably gonna watch it.
Yeah, it comes out March. Well, this is March, so it might be out now. If you're listening to this.
So when March is out, because it's February recording, but it's out in March. We have our own quantum universe.
It's our own branch of the timeline. Yes,
there we go. Yes. Speaking of branches.
I'm sorry. We just, MegaCon just got us on a whole nother thing. So, okay. So we talked about Tom Hiddleston. All right. So Sophia DiMartino is still back as Sylvie. Wumi Masuko is Hunter B-15. She's back again. Eugene Cordero is Casey. Raphael Casal is Hunter X-5, a.k.a. Brad Wolf. Ki Hui Kwan is Ouroboros or Obi.
Mm-hmm. I was so happy when he showed up.
Like, when I saw him, I'm like,
that was the best thing ever. He was there, too. He was also at MegaCon. Wow. By the way. Now we're back on that.
I would have.
I was so happy for him. I'm like, look at all the attention he's getting. This is awesome. Good for you.
Yeah. 35, 40 years out of the spotlight, and all of a sudden, bam, he's back. And I love it.
Mm-hmm. And he's amazing.
And he's great. He's so great.
So great.
So good.
Okay. Before we get off track again, Owen Wilson is Mobius again.
Mobius.
Yes, I'm sorry. Mobius. Let's be specific about this wackadoodle name. Yeah.
Wow.
Gugu Mbatha Ra is Renslayer. I'm so sorry because I'm sure. But
she's an amazing actress. I love her.
I love Renslayer. I love her character. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tara Strong is the voice of Miss Minutes. And Jonathan Majors, once again, is in this as Victor Timely and He Who Remains.
Mm-hmm. Does Miss Minutes freak it? Like, not freak, but like she creeps me out. There we go.
She bothers me. She absolutely creeps me out.
Oh yes, me.
Yeah, I do not like Miss Minutes. For and it's rightly so. You should be bothered by her.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just not the character. It's just the fact that she's this walking cartoon in Marvel, and it just bothers me.
It's, I think that's intentional. Yeah, like, there's just something so off-putting about her.
Yes, I think it is supposed to bother you to your core whenever you see
Well, it bothers me to my core.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
She got even weirder in this season, too.
God, talk about, well, I mean, she's.
I mean, I got to the point where she was like professing her love to Victor Timely. Oh, yeah. And I'm like,
And he was like.
That episode in general was weird.
Yes.
So weird.
Yes. It's bizarre. Well, so I did go episode by episode because I was like, there's just so much going on. So I figured it would be easier.
Well, at least I'll know what happens then.
Yes. Mm-hmm, yeah. And then I tried to, this written summaries were so long. So I was trying to like pick and choose what the most important things were to remind us what happened in each episode because I know they blend together in my brain.
Well, and I did love the first episode. Ouroboros.
Ouroboros.
Uh-huh. The Obi episode. I did really enjoy the first episode. I thought, great, I'm going to like this series. And then it just went downhill for me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, it happens. Okay. I want more Loki.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. I get you. Mm-hmm. Okay. So in the first episode, just to refresh everyone's memories, in the past, the Time Variance Authority, TVA, attempts to apprehend Loki while he's, warping across time in their headquarters. In the present, Loki reunites with Mobius and warns him of the threat posed by the variants of He Who Remains. And then Dox, who's the TVA general, has several hunters that arm themselves to find Sylvie, who caused the sacred timeline to branch because she killed He Who Remains at the end of the last season. So that's like where we're starting.
Mm-hmm. So is Kang the Conqueror supposed to be a variant of He Who Remains?
That's what I was getting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm assuming so. They use the same actor, but you don't know.
Mm-hmm. They're all, there's just so many variants.
This is why they should have stopped after Endgame. We're getting too meh.
Welcome to comic books. Literally nothing ends.
I'm
the same way. I mean, I like comic books for their specific series, but as a whole, it's just never so ending. Much. So it's like,
so much.
At some point, you just got to be like, all right, I'm out.
No, too much. Too much.
Yeah.
But the best part of this is, like we were just saying, Loki and Mobius meet Obi, who realizes what Loki is time slipping. It was such a great introduction. Mm-hmm. It was so good. Just amazing.
I love the part. He's like, do you have whatever the thing they need? He's like, no, I don't. Wait.
Right.
Yes, I do. I have one right here.
It's just so cute. Yeah.
Are you talking, like, is he talking to you in the past? And coming? I'm just like, oh my God.
That time slipping thing too. Oh, it was hard to focus, but I did love how like Loki would just be in the same place, you know, again. And he's talking to Obi and Obi's just like, okay. All right, and now we're back. Yeah, like, yeah, we talked about that. Like, what is happening? What is happening?
Like, wait, we did talk about that.
Yes, I remember. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So great.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, sorry. I just had to talk about that scene. I love it.
Yep.
It's the best scene. It is. Yeah. Any other thoughts on the first episode?
I love that type of, like, playing with time slippage and such. Those are the stories are always fun to, you know.
That's true. Yeah.
Fun to do.
I was so confused at the beginning of the episode. I'm like, why is he? Why does no one know Loki? Because I guess I don't remember what happened at the end of the season one. So maybe I missed something. I don't know. But yeah, like when he was running around and they were like chasing him and he's like, don't you know me? And they're like, we don't know you. I'm like, what did I miss? I don't remember. Maybe I should watch the last episode.
Right. Yeah. I kind of had to get like, I had to refresh my, I didn't watch the recap because I was impatient. I was trying to refresh myself. That was like, Sylvie killed He Who Remains, and then remember he come out before that happened. There were the three was it the timekeepers or the which we found out those were just mechanical. There was just a front, and it was actually He Who Remains who was controlling everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So then he comes back and it's the new timeline, but it's the statue of He Who Remains.
Right.
Yeah.
As opposed to the Timekeepers.
Yeah. So that's why, because it's a different timeline. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It just, in the words of, I think, someone in Back to the Future, we should not be messing with the timeline.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is very confusing.
It's not linear. It's all just kind of squiggly at this point. You know, it's,
you know. Oh, yeah. There's somebody else. Oh, Doctor Who. And we can talk about it because Doctor Who's now Disney. Mm-hmm. Doctor Who and David Tennant's time as Doctor Who. So Doctor 10, 11? Mm-hmm.
10.
10. He describes time. He's like, it's not really a straight line. It's like a wibbly wobbly. Oh, what did he say? Wibbly wobbly. Wibbly wobbly
timey wimey stuff.
Yes, wibbly wobbly timey wimey. I'm like. Mm-hmm. So
I'm glad you brought up Doctor Who, because this whole season literally just felt like I was watching a variant of Doctor Who. That's why I was surprised you didn't get into it, because this very, like, I mean, Loki would make a very good Doctor in this movie.
I went into it thinking it was going to be Loki, not some version of Doctor Who, but if you put it that way, I might be able to finish it.
It's, oh my gosh. Loki is very Doctor-esque in this show. It's
next year. We have to do the Doctor Who special stuff. Like, it's so good. We need to talk about Doctor Who next year. Just FYI. But anyways, moving on.
Yeah. Okay. Noted.
Well, yeah, no, the season is like, what's the world look like from a Time Lord's point of view? That's what season two of Loki feels like.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, I'll try to finish. I'll try to finish it now. Yeah.
I would recommend
I'll go
it.
From that. I'll go from that. But yeah, Tom Hiddleston would be a great Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Anywho.
Okay. And in the mid-credits scene at the end of this, just a reminder, that's when Sylvie goes to that McDonald's in 1982.
Weird to me.
Sylvie's just lost. I forgot
McDonald's used to look that cool.
I know. I like the vibe. I was just like, let's go back.
Yeah.
I just hate that she went to an 80s hairstyle. I liked her hairstyle better in the first one.
I like the 80s hairstyle.
I don't.
I mean, it fits her face.
Yeah, it works.
Oh, see, I don't. I don't think it fits her face.
Yeah. But see, I'm an 80s purist, so anything 80s, I'm just going to be like, yeah, it's good.
And I'm not, so that makes sense.
Okay. All right. Let's go on to the second episode.
I love the little play on words for the episode title.
Breaking Brad. Wing, wing. Do you get it? Do you get the joke? Okay. Oh, so Loki, Mobius, and Hunter B-15 find and capture Hunter X-5 in London, 1977, on the Sacred Timeline, where he is now living as film actor Brad Wolf. And they also travel to Oklahoma, where they find Sylvie at that McDonald's. And this is when they all come together, and Wolf is like, we're all in mortal danger. And then Sylvie makes him basically explain what Docs is planning to do, you know, about resetting all of the branches and all that fun stuff.
But it doesn't work because then the branches just start growing again.
Time is just complicated. It's just complicated.
It is.
Yeah. But I do enjoy me some Brad Wolf.
He was funny.
I like him. He is quite entertaining.
Yes. A lot of fun.
I love how he just was like, all right, I'm going to just go live this other life. Bye. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go hang out. Now I'm an actor. I'm going to make some money off a comic book movie. It was just great. I love it.
I mean, how many of us wouldn't do that? You wake up in a timeline where you're literally this famous actor and everyone accepts that. You're like, all right, yeah,
cool.
I'm good with it.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
That's me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's me. And I just love his little bonding moment with Mobius when he's trying to explain it to him. And it's just really anything with Owen Wilson, Mobius. I just love his interaction with everybody.
Owen Wilson's amazing.
He is.
Oh, it's great. It's just too fun.
He's very Owen Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Wow. Wow. Yeah.
Yes.
Because there are just some actors that they don't act the character. They act themselves.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of them. And it's perfect every time.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Always fits. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So what do we think about the second episode?
It was good. I mean, we got Sylvie. We kind of have that back and forth again.
Mm-hmm.
This was probably towards the end of this episode. I started losing interest, I think. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't, I feel like it was a good transition episode into like the other stuff that now needs to be done. But it was good to get Sylvie back.
Yeah. I like it when Sylvie's around.
Yeah. Her mm-hmm. and Loki are still very.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see team. Like.
Good old enemies to lovers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And you like when there's couples in. When I think this is from the first one, but at the teaser into the next one, but like. She kept looking at the couples and she's like, I want to experience everything. And it's like, mm-hmm. oh, honey,
mm-hmm.
I feel for you. I got you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they keep interrupting her, so she can't live her life.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the curse of being a Marvel superhero. You just can't have a normal life.
You mean an anti-villain
or they're anti-hero. All the same. Yeah, they're all anti-hero, villain, superhero. Yeah, she's super like an anti-hero. Person.
Yeah, whatever she is. Yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She's a Loki.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any other thoughts on the second one?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So third episode is 1893. So Miss Minutes is back. So ugh. Miss Minutes and Renslayer go to Chicago 1868 so they can drop off the TVA handbook to a young Victor Timely, who is the variant of He Who Remains. And had told them to, or told Miss Minutes, I guess, to do this to make, you know, he's just setting up everything on the timeline. And then they go to 1893 World, the Chicago World's Fair on the branch timeline. And that's where Loki and Mobius track her to. So they show up as well. Mm-hmm. Which, first of all, the setting, I really did like the World's Fair. I thought they did a really good job with the set. I thought it was a lot of fun. The costumes, the set, I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. It was just super well done.
That like late 1800s aesthetic is always fun. That kind of, you know. Mm-hmm.
The vibe. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You got Loki and Mobius just walking around eating their little, like whatever, popcorn or whatever was the end of the little things. It was just
fun. I think it's caramel corn.
I don't know what it was. Yeah, but.
I think you said something about it being caramel. So, oh, Cracker Jacks.
Cracker
Jacks are caramel.
Yeah. And surely Owen Wilson was enjoying that because he definitely was munching away on those.
Of course he was.
I didn't really see Tom doing as much, but definitely Owen Wilson was just like snacking away the whole time. It just made me laugh. Because I'm like, okay, Owen, you just enjoy your snack on set. And so we end up with Timely having four groups that are chasing him in this. Loki and Mobius, who need his aura to fix the loom. Renslayer and Miss Minutes, who want him to take his variant's place with them at his side. And then you got Sylvie, who wants to kill him. Again, to prevent his rise to power. And then a robber baron and his allies who want revenge against Timely's fake invention scam. So he's got a lot going on in this episode as Timely. Yeah. A lot of people are coming for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So this is the one, isn't this the one where he betrays Renslayer? And Miss Minutes, this is that episode, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're on the way to his workshop and she says something about being partners and he doesn't do partners.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So he kicked her out, which I think was Miss Minutes' plan along.
He didn't just kick her out. Like he shoved
her into a boat.
I was like, okay, let's not. Come on, bro. That was a little rough for her. I felt bad because she just blop into the water and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is where this is the episode that Miss Minutes just gets, I mean, she's already creepy, but she gets creepy in this episode. Like, she's like, you never gave me a human body so I can be your person. I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah.
No.
That's like just, Joss Whedon dark. Like, just creepy.
Ugh.
Yeah.
No.
I feel like it's creepier than Joss.
It is, but it's definitely in that universe, like in that feeling. That just I'm a sweet little innocent voice and I'm going to terrorize you.
Yes. Mm-hmm, it's like a horror movie. Yes. Mm-hmm. Honestly.
Yeah.
I don't blame him for being like, okay, click. No.
Mm-hmm.
We're done.
She was like trying to say I love you to him. Like, oh. Mm-hmm.
We're done. Bye,
and she like plasters her face on that weird mannequin thing.
That was beyond creepy.
No.
I thought she was gonna merge, like when she was doing that, I thought she was gonna merge with the mannequin and the mannequin was gonna come alive. I'm like,
that would have been
no
extra creepy if she made it move.
That's where my mind went. I'm like, don't do it.
No. No, Miss Minutes, no. No.
No, thank you. Why would you create that? Like, I just want to look at She's He Who like, Remains and be like, why? Why did you create this?
She's his AI, like, buddy, you know? To keep everything in line, be where he can't be. I don't like her, though. Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm.
Ugh. No. I really wish they would just let Sylvia kill him. I'm not going to lie. I don't know how the rest of the show goes yet, but I'm just like, just kill him. It'll be fine. You guys will figure it out.
Mm-hmm. You guys will figure it out.
It's fine.
Goodness. So what else do you think about this episode? Besides creepy Miss Minutes.
The first half of it was good. And then the last, like, maybe 20 minutes, I was just like, where is this going?
Yeah.
Because it just felt like the plot kept twisting. It's like, okay, first he's being stalked by Miss Minutes. Then was it Renslayer or Sylvie who shows up next? Somebody else shows up.
Renslayer shows up. Was going to annihilate him.
Annihilate him. And then like, she's like, you work for me or I kill you. And then she gets stopped. And then Sylvie shows up and she's got her agenda. And then finally Loki and I was just like, oh my.
And Mobius show up and save his butt.
Right. I'm just like, where is this? I feel like it was just kind of dragged out. Like, I was like, what is happening right now?
This is where I got bored.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That one I can understand. This one was a little. I don't know. I feel like they kind of ran out of space. Like, I feel like after he dropped Renslayer off the boat, like, that's where the episode should have ended.
Yep.
Yeah. Right there. And then the second, like, an episode after that, it could have been a whole thing about what was going on with there. But I felt like they just.
Yeah.
They need it to fill space.
Yeah, to extend out the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that.
But it was weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very.
Okay. So let's go on to the next one, which Ashley kind of watched. So this is Heart of the TVA. Mm-hmm. Ashley, then from here on, we'll see how this goes with her, with Ashley. All right, so Miss Minutes reveals that in the past, Renslayer commanded He Who Remains army. He proposed to lead the TVA with Renslayer and then had Miss Minutes erase her memories. So that's fine.
And everyone else's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and everybody's. He just, because, you know, that's what he does. And Timely restores access to the loom, but when he approaches it, the increased temporal radiation spaghettifies him. I like that. That's what happens. That's the good description. And that's before the throughput multiplier can be launched. So the temporal loom explodes. The blast waves spread toward Loki, Mobius, Sylvie, B-15, KC, OB, and the TVA. And that's how it ends. Is Loki's just accepted his, like, death at the end.
So Timely's gone.
In this moment,
does he come back? Does he come back another episode?
Of course he comes back.
Okay. Well, I didn't know if they just killed him off because there's another one.
Of course there's another variant. The other ones. Yeah. No, he will. There's a lot that happens in the last two episodes, but yeah. The spaghettifying thing is super creepy when it happens. Yeah.
Is it like Indiana Jones melting skin to bone creepy?
No, it's more like when Thanos turned people into, like, springs and, like, blocks and stuff. It's more like that.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, he literally just goes out into space. Yep. So. Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
I mean, you have all this hope. You're like, oh, they're going to make it. And oops. Not how the episode ends. And, of course, I was like, well, there's two more, so I'm going to assume that Loki is not going to actually die at this moment in time. But
Loki never dies.
It's a bit intense, though.
He dies all the time, and he never dies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, it was a lot. I feel like this episode was a lot just to set up the last two.
More so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting that Miss Minutes decides now, after, like, Victor throws her away, to reveal the actual past of Renslayer. Like,
mm-hmm.
As you're watching it, I'm like, ooh, they had a thing. She was probably in love with him, and he acted like he was in love with her, but then he just wanted all the power for himself.
Yeah.
So yeah, if I was her, I'd really want to kill Victor now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he wasn't the one who did it. technically.
Well, whatever. Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I might just skip to the next episode and not watch the spedification.
I mean, it's not like gross. It's just, you know.
Yeah, I feel like I'm still just going to be bored.
Maybe a little bit with this one. Yeah.
I'm just going to move over. Is the next episode really called Science/Fiction?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense.
Yeah. Well, do we have anything else we want to say about this particular one? Dan, any other thoughts?
I don't think so.
No. Okay. Me neither, honestly. It's the last two that are like.
Yeah. Okay. That's when it gets good.
Yeah. So next one, science fiction. So as expected, Loki survives the explosion, but everyone else has vanished at the TVA headquarters. And it starts to spaghettify. So the whole environment is bleh, spaghetti everywhere. So he escapes because he's time slipping again. And it takes him to branch timelines where his friends Mobius, Hunter B-15, Casey, and OB are reset to their original lives. So Mobius is Don, who's a dad. And he works at like a
sporting goods store.
Yeah.
Okay.
He sells jet skis.
Yes, he does. It's super funny. Hunter B-15 is Dr. Verity Willis. She's like an actual doctor. Like she's like a cute, I don't know if she's specifically a pediatrician, but when we see her, she's working on a little kid and it's adorable. I just love it. Let's see. And then Casey is a guy called Frank Morris, who is escaping from,
Alcatraz.
I almost said Azkaban, and I was like, what are you doing? It is not
might
Azkaban.
As well be.
I mean, it's like kind of, but yeah, Alcatraz. Like he's in a print literally with two other, I think it's two other guys. They're literally escaping from Alcatraz. Mm-hmm. And Loki pops in, like when he just randomly shows up, he's just like, Casey's just like, you have to find your own way out. Like you need your own boat. You can't come with us. So then Loki just disappears because, you know, he's time slipping. And then right. They're all mm-hmm. like, where'd he go? Yeah. It's very funny to see him in that character. And then OB is Dr. A.D. Doug. And he's still just so cute. I love him. We meet him, Ashley, at a bookstore where he's trying to buy a book. And he's telling the cashier how great of a book it is. And, you know, you should definitely check it out. And so many people are buying it and she can't get it to scan. And it turns out he just keeps bringing his own book that he wrote, this science fiction book, to the bookstore. And the owner is just like, get out. I told you to stop bringing your books here. It's so sad, but so cute. I just love him.
He's literally just a struggling writer, sci-fi writer.
Yeah. It's adorable. Yeah. Super, still obviously insanely smart. Mm-hmm. Obviously. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when Loki finally connects with OB, aka, you know, Dr. Doug in this one, Doug actually builds a temp pad using a TVA handbook that Loki had kept. So right before Loki left the TVA, he had stuck one of the little handbooks in his pocket. So he gave it to him and he did it in the real world. He made a temp pad. And so Loki ends up bringing everybody back to Doug's workshop except Sylvie, because when he goes to get her, Sylvie still has her memories. So she knows exactly what's going on. And she's like, no, you know, she's gonna stay at McDonald's.
Yeah,
like she does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a whole thing, because basically OB, aka Doug, thinks maybe if everybody comes together, that will help Loki be able to do what he needs to do to get back to the TVA and save everybody. And it doesn't work. Everyone turns into spaghetti. And that scene too. There's a lot of spaghetti going on.
Right. Actually.
There's a lot of spaghetti happening in these episodes, really and truly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Loki, over time, he starts to learn how to control more of what he's doing. So he decides he can actually rewrite the story, and he time slips to before the explosion by focusing on OB, and he's able to go back to that point in time. Huh. But yeah, this episode I thought was really good. I really liked it. And especially seeing them all in their first lives, whatever.
Yeah.
Their original lives.
It makes you appreciate
before they got
it more.
Old.
It's like, okay, these are who these people really are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Loki trying to convince them how he knows them, because of course they're just like, what are you talking about? Yeah.
Right. I don't know you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it's a good, interesting, a good episode, I think. And there's lots of OB in it, so I like that.
Yeah. I love when he has that moment where it's like, whoa, you're one of my characters who came to life and you need my help. That's like a dream come true. I'm like,
yes, he's so cute.
That is an author's dream come true.
It is. Literally is.
Oh. And how long did he say it took him to build the temp pad? I can't remember.
Like 19 months or something like that.
Yeah. Like it was over a year, but it doesn't seem that way to Loki because he's just kind of bouncing around all these places. And he's actually, he's with Mobius at that point in time, like showing him, like, it's like bizarre. He meets him in his garage. He talks to him and then he time jumps him back. And then they're watching each other talk to each other at the garage. So, you know, it's like a whole thing. And then I don't know where comes Obi. He just like bops into the scene.
Right.
He's finished his project. Yep. It's great.
Right.
Yeah. I love it. But it's a really good episode.
Yeah.
Glorious purpose. Sorry. It just Avengers 1 reference.
Wait, which one? Oh, yeah.
The last one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Glorious purpose.
Mm-hmm. Which... when we get to it, it makes a perfect title.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So Loki time slips to the moment before the temporal loom's explosion. And despite his attempts, the loom ultimately fails to accommodate the infinite branches. And it's confusing already, but you literally watch Loki repeat. They repeat the same scene over and over again.
Groundhog Day.
It's yes, exactly. But Loki will start to back up even further to try and like pinpoint where they need to be to get it taken care of. And he learns everything there is about what is it, like quantum mechanics or whatever it is that
the Obi's whole process, like of just all everything,
like everything. Like he spends like 100 years doing this, like over like and
centuries.
Over again.
Literally, it says centuries later.
That's right. Oh, yeah, gosh. Like centuries. Yes. So he is as smart as Obi basically at the end of this.
Exactly.
Interesting.
That's where I was getting the whole Time Lord vibe. I was like, this is exactly like something you would expect a doctor to say.
Yep.
You know, the way he's just coming in and he just boom, 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 he knows everything before every other character says it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's like, that's okay, a Time Lord thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, oh, so that's what a Time Lord is. He's not all knowing. He's just done this so many times. He happens to know everything.
He learns everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's super funny because, you know, of course, everybody's like, what? You know, now Loki just knows all this stuff.
Right. Only Loki could take this tragic and sad moment and turn it into a do-over montage.
Mm-hmm. Which is really what it is over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it never works. Like they just can't save it. Yeah. Like the one time it looks like it's successful, it just then it fails immediately afterwards. And he's just like, you've got to be kidding me with this. So then he ends up going to the moment before Sylvie kills He Who Remains. And He Who Remains tells Loki that the loom is a failsafe. So overloading it protects the sacred timeline by deleting the branches along with the TVA. So that's what it's supposed to do. He's just like, yeah, that's what was supposed to happen. That's what it was built for.
Wait, hold on. It was built as a fail. What?
It's always there just to protect the sacred timeline. So they're trying to like conserve all the branches, you know, whatever. It's never going to do that. It's never going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. It will forever kill off all of the other branches. It is there to protect the sacred timeline and eventually destroy the TVA, destroy all the other branches, but the sacred timeline remains.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they were never going to win, quote unquote.
Yeah. Why? Basically, it was set up to fail, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why would you even set it up then?
Ask He Who Remains.
Okay. Anyways. So finds out that it's a failsafe. Got it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So Loki goes back because, well, basically He Who Remains is like, well, you have to kill Sylvie and can, you know, basically prevent her from killing me. And Loki's like, no. No, I'm not going to do that. There's got to be something else I can do.
Yeah.
So ultimately, he ends up replacing Timely in approaching the loom. So all this time, Timely has been the one heading out to get to the loom to try and save it. Every time, even when he makes it, like we said, it doesn't work. So this time, Loki goes and he does it. And I love that scene when Loki's going out there.
It's a powerful scene.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, it's so good. Because, you know, at first he's just in his little suit, and then he transforms back into Loki the god when he's going out there. And it's just
old Asgardian horns and everything. Yes. It's so cool.
Oh, I loved that scene. It's just, it's great. So
It felt like I was watching an actual creation myth, like, taking place. You know, he's like taking all the timelines. Just
Yes, saves it that way. Mm-hmm. Yep. He rejuvenates all of the dying timelines. He destroys the loom, and then he collects them all together. And then it looks like a giant tree at the end. And he's sitting on the throne at the end of time, just like holding and protecting these branches.
Holding on place. Yeah.
Hold on. Norse mythology.
Oh yeah, it's related to some Norse thing. Yeah,
I don't know if that's an actual Norse myth, but it did look like it.
Or they referenced it, and I think they've referenced it in
one of the Thor movies.
You draw Seal is an important feature of Norse mythology. It's a Norse tree of life, compassing all nine worlds. They are part of the ancient Norse view of Kamos. So he's pretty much making his own Yggdrasil.
That's so cool.
Wow.
That's so cool.
Okay, I gotta watch at least the last episode.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's so good. It makes so up for it.
I'm working in the middle, so I won't get bored.
It's all just leading up to Loki's big redemption moment.
Mm-hmm. So it's literally Loki who's just holding the universe together now.
Mm-hmm.
He is Atlas, in a sense. Like, in the Greek mythology, he's Atlas. He's holding the world up so it doesn't die. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
That's why the title, Glorious Purpose.
Mm-hmm.
His glorious purpose is to hold the world together.
Mm-hmm. Yep. He saves the day. And then.
So are we never going to see Loki again because he can't move?
I don't think that's the truth.
I'm sure we'll see him again. Some version of him.
Robbie already told me he's supposed to hook back up with Thor at some point. So I don't know how this is going to work. Don't understand it, but that's what he told me.
Interesting. Yeah.
But the TVA is still around, but basically Mobius like retires and they're tracking all of the variants of He Who Remains King, whatever. They're tracking them to see where they're at. So, you know, it's just interesting how things have changed.
Mm-hmm. So there are still branches. There are still like other timelines going on.
Yeah, because Loki saved them all.
Do you see what happens to Sylvie? Or is she still at her McDonald's?
Didn't Sylvie still at the McDonald's, right? Because he doesn't kill her, so.
He meets up with her,
and then.
Well, she meets up with Mobius at some point, like at the very end.
Oh right, yeah, she is with Mobius when Mobius goes back to see his original self. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's hanging out with Mobius a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very interesting. I'll watch the end of this. Yeah. I might just get to Glorious Purpose, but I'll watch it.
Yeah,
I think it's really worth watching science fiction and Glorious Purpose just again because there's so much great.
You understand the context of it
and it explains it a little bit more. Yeah, I would watch science fiction and Glorious Purpose if I were recommending it.
Okay, well, I'm gonna have to be in the mood to watch both of them.
I'm just saying.
Have you ever watched a show and you just like? It feels blah, even though it's supposed to be like this amazing show and everyone loves it. Like, you're just like, eh. You ever felt that way about a show?
Yeah, but I usually power through it. I mean, that was me the first time I ever saw Breaking Bad. So.
You didn't like Breaking Bad?
I didn't like the first season of Breaking Bad. And then everyone told me, just power through it. It gets better, which they were right.
Okay, I was about to be really upset. Okay.
That's just wasting my time. I don't like wasting my time by powering through something that I don't want to watch. I have books and other things to do.
That's fair.
Okay.
That's fair.
I'm busy. I got things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, is this the last season of Loki, or are they supposed to bring Thor into a Loki season?
Yeah.
Like, does anybody know the rumors?
Yeah. No.
That'd be cool if Thor actually did show up in a Loki season, though.
What
if just it'd be Thor and Loki all through a season? I would be okay with that.
Just Thor and Loki out on adventures.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Making sure the tree is where it needs to be.
Yeah.
Bring in more of the Norse mythology. You know, bring in more of that.
That would be nice.
And I mean, both of those characters have grown so much. So it's like it'd be interesting to see kind of like how they relate to each other now.
Or if they revert back to their brotherly ways. Their old
dynamics, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well.
I feel like Thor was going to revert back. I feel like Loki's going to try to show him how much he's changed, but he's like, yeah, no, you're just my brother.
Mm-hmm.
Loki.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play, what's it, let's play throw, or what's the game they call it in the one movie?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Shoot. We talked about it in Thor 2, I think.
It's like throw a Loki or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something stupid. The game, but
it's something about, we even did a TikTok of it.
I know. I can't remember.
I can't remember either.
Yeah. Anyway. Side note, I forgot to mention this in the 1883 episode, or 1893, the part where they see the Norse statues.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah.
And Thor hilarious. And some other guy. Yes. I just loved his reaction. Like, oh, really? Really? It. Just this broad generalization. You don't. Thor's a lot tall. Thor's not that tall.
So funny. I love it.
And I love Mobius. He's like, I kind of forget you're one of them.
I know. Right? He's just like, oh, yeah, I kind of forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Like, Mobius. Loki's like your bestie right now. What is wrong with you?
Right.
It's funny.
Wait, what happens to Miss Minutes? Please tell me she's destroyed.
OB basically, you're like, redoes her. So she's rebooted, but now OB is in charge of getting her set up. Mm-hmm. So she's not evil. She's still weird, but. In theory, she's not evil. I don't know. She's still like an AI thing, so I don't know how that's going to go down the line. But
AI is just its own genre of morality. It's neither good, neither evil. It's just a force of terror.
So.
We'll see. Yeah. Mm. Okay. Anything else?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Well, Pixie Dusters, thank you for joining us for Loki Season 2. We probably should have told you at the beginning it was going to be lots and lots of spoilers. So, I'm sorry.
As usual. Watched it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. We usually do spoilers.
Yeah,
we do. Next week, we are going to be talking about the Marvels, mm-hmm. which includes Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel, and Captain Monica Rambeau. Or there's a lot of different names that Miss Marvel tried to call her. Mm-hmm. So join us next week for that episode. And then I believe we're ending out the month with Echo.
Echo. Yes, yep. That's the plan.
Echo.
Mm-hmm.
Echo. Is there an echo in here?
Why?
Because we had to.
Because I can.
Because we can. So definitely join us next week and the week mm-hmm. after. Hope you're having a great March. And yeah, have a magical rest of your week.
Yes. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy. Logo created by Ashley. This show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.